Alpha, Delta 7, Lima Tango. Mobile 4, listening.
T-KO4-EEA.
EEA, I believe it is. This is AD7LT. Name's Dan, Delta, Alpha, November. We're Mobile over in the Green Valley area of North Greenville.
Tequila Oscar 4, Echo Alpha, I'm Steve, and I'm down here in Honey Pass. Go ahead.
Well, it's good to talk with you today. We're getting some snow here. It's just a little popcorn snow that's freezing, basically. It's thawing, basically, as fast as it hits the car. But possibly a promise of things to come later this month or so.
So you're in Greenville, go ahead?
Well, really, just to the west of Traveler's Rest, go ahead.
Hey, roger that. Yeah, we're about 40 miles from you, kind of southeast of you, and it's sunshining down here, really.
Clouds up here blowing across the sun, and one of them happens to be a little darker than the rest and starts spitting snow.
What's the temperature like up there? It's about 30 degrees down here, really.
It's just about the same up here. Feels a little colder because it's humid and the wind's blowing.
Strange how the weather works around, especially around the mountains, and then after it gets out of the mountains into the Piedmont area, kind of like we are, go ahead.
Now for a real winter snow, we typically don't get anything here unless high pressure is coming across from the middle of the country with that clockwise flow of cold air from up north, and it has to come across directly due north of and above a low pressure area, which is coming out of the Gulf, feeding the moist air counterclockwise, and the two meet over top of us. And when that happens, we can get a doggone big snow. But anything other than that, and it's, you know, it's a mix usually, or a dusting north of 85, but south of 85 it's rain, or it's freezing rain and a little sleet. But I remember some big ones when I was much younger.
Yeah, those things like I-85, as it goes up, that just seems to be the cutoff point for some reason or other. The difference in the weather between kind of south of I-85, southeast of I-85, and northwest of I-85, I believe.
The pattern there, I'm not sure that... I'm not really sure that... I don't think, of course, the interstate has anything to do with it. It's just that trough area where the microclimate that's associated with the mountains and the air coming over the top of the mountains tends to combine with the flow from the southeast. And anytime you've got an interface of systems and air masses, it tends to produce unstable weather. Now, I remember there was the last really big snow I remember back here was in 93, and they were predicting snow, significant snow, almost a week ahead. Of course, my wife didn't believe it. I was actually going to a retreat up at Black Mountain, North Carolina, and on that night before I left, which was Wednesday, we had huge, strong, cold winds blowing out of the west. It was clear and cold. I remember that clearly because we had to sleep on the back porch of the house because we just had all the floors redone in anticipation of, you know, trying to fix the house up. And I told her when I left the next day, I said, they're saying it might snow. Maybe I need to take some boots. We were up in Rutherfordton at the time. I can't predict snow around here, which is usually true. And I didn't take my boots. And, man, it started snowing on Friday. And it didn't let up till, I don't know, maybe Monday. I couldn't get, by Tuesday up in Black Mountain, North Carolina, they finally had one lane plowed on the interstate. And I was able to start making my way back. But, you know, power was out. I mean, there was 2-3 feet of snow. There was easily 3 feet up at Black Mountain. I think they had 2 feet down here.
Nicaragua off of you. Roger that, for sure. You know, it's just like, I don't know, like you said, we don't get a whole lot of snow, and when we do, it's not that thick, and most of the time, it'll get warmer during the daytime around here, and then when it does that, and at night, it'll freeze back over, and it leaves ice spots in the road, especially back ice from my house to Greenville, I grew up.
That's affirmative. That's exactly what it does. But, you know, when ice is melting like that, when snow is melting like that, but still freezing overnight, it does that everywhere. We lived for 10 years out in Montana, and we would get some tremendous snows out there. We were in Great Falls. But if it was, I mean, I've seen it snow up there in the summertime, but, you know, when you get those snows and then the next day you'd get these warming winds come across the Rocky Mountains, which is a local phenomenon called a Chinook wind. But those winds come across the top of the Rockies and rush down the eastern slopes and pick up speed. And, you know, and the wind and the air mass coming over the top tends to compress. I think it's either Boyle's or Charles' Law, but when you compress air, you generate heat. If you've ever noticed how hot a compressor gets when it's compressing air. And so those are warming winds, and I've seen it go from well below zero to 30 above within a matter of a few hours when those weather systems move in. And, of course, that melts the snow vigorously, but then that night the temperature would drop back down and everything would freeze over into glare ice. So that part of it's not something that's typical of just South Carolina. Go ahead.
Hey, Roger. Well, I'll tell you what, the funny thing of it is, like you said, when that hot air gets in there and it kind of heats the snow up. And like I said, our snow down here, you know, we might get 3 or 4 inches, but that's about it. And I know some places, like you said, Montana and places like that, they've got whatever, like a foot of snow at one time, I agree.
Well, the solar cycle, I feel sure, drives the weather. And regardless of what you hear on the news, satellite, as I understand it, satellite telemetry of the temperatures around the world show a general cooling trend. What we find, I think, is that when you're in a sunspot cycle null like we are right now, the sun's inactive, and that tends to promote increased exposure, as I understand it, to cosmic rays, which generate more cloud cover, which generates global cooling and increased precipitation. And those sunspot cycles take a long time to cycle through, and if we're actually getting into another Maunder minimum type picture, it may be that we start having increasingly more severe winters here in the South for the foreseeable decades. I don't know. But, you know, I never have believed it has anything to do with carbon dioxide. Carbon dioxide's what feeds all the green plants. They take the carbon dioxide and convert it into oxygen using photosynthesis, and that's how they grow. So saying that it's a greenhouse gas just never made a lot of sense to me.
Like, you know, you talk about this global warming and things like that, and to me it's ridiculous, because every time somebody says something about global warming, it ends up snowing, which means it's colder.
Well, we're not going to grossly be able to impact the global temperatures, to be honest with you. We don't have that kind of control over the weather, and as I say, it's really, I think, just a ploy to broker in political control, but that's another thing. Anyway, I'd like to see it snow. I love the snow. I was looking at some old photographs the other day of me out playing on the top of the mountain in Montana in January. Actually, it was March, I think. On a snowmobile with some buddies that I've been invited to join. They provided the snowmobile, and we were up on top of the Little Belt Mountains, flying around on top of the mountain in the snow. The snow was right there where we were. It was probably 5 or 6 feet deep. if you got off the snowmobile, you'd sink up to your knees. You know, you couldn't really walk without snowshoes. But we had a good time, and it was beautiful, crystal clear blue day, and looked off to the south, and you could see the peaks of the mountains several hundred miles away at Yellowstone. And the snow glinting off of them. But, yeah, it was, I liked the winter out there. My wife didn't like it. She just said she stayed cold all the time. But, you know, frankly, since we moved back, she's been cold all the time here, too. So we might as well stay out there.
Did you ever get snow blind out there? You know, like you said, when the snow is on the ground and then the sun's pouring down on top of that snow, excuse me, creating a body of light. Did you ever get snow blinded out there?
No, but it's easy to do. The reason I didn't is because I have blue eyes, and my eyes have always been extremely sensitive to the sun. So I've got a goodly supply of various tints of sunglasses to wear. It's really, I mean, I don't have them on right now, but it's really too bright out here for me right now. And so, yeah, I wouldn't even try to go out of the house without my sunglasses up there in the wintertime if it was a clear day.
Since I retired, I don't dread snow as bad. Used to, I hated it because having to get up the next morning and go to work, and of course, they never shut the plant down for any reason whatsoever, even when it snowed. If you could get there, fine, but if you couldn't, maybe they understood. But still, I always tried to make an effort to be at work when I wanted to. And anyway, like I said, now I've retired, and I don't care if it snows or don't, go ahead.
Well, that's one thing nice about ham radio. You got something to do if it snows you in. All right, well, I'm here at my second home, Lowe's, so let me get in here and get my honey-do list out and see what I need. Thanks for call, and I'll let you tie the ribbons on it. This is 87LT, bubble 4. Be clear on your final, 7-3.
Echo Alpha, Steve. We'll be clear.